What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Real Gridiron Podcast. My name's Logan Mitchell, and once again, I'm joined by Bryden Mason. Bryden, what's going on today,
man? Bryden? I'm doing good, Logan. Thank you for having me. Pretty psyched. My man Devin Booker, he's finally arrived. Helped the Suns start 3-0 in the bubble. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Hey, I don't want to talk about what the Suns did to my Mavericks the other night. I don't want to talk about that disappointment. We can save that for another basketball podcast. Today we're talking some fantasy football. Bryden, why don't you go ahead and tell them what we're talking about today?
So me and Logan compiled 11 takes each, and they're going to be some of our hottest takes of what we think may happen in this fantasy football season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm going to have Bryden read me. We're going to go alternate back and forth. He'll read me one. I'll read one of mine. And then we're going to give each other a grade. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely I think that Bryden's take is to happen. And if his take is absolute garbage, then I'll let him know that too. So we're going to give each other grades here. 11 takes each. We're going to have 22 hot takes total in this episode. You want to start us off or you want to hear one of mine first?
I can start us off.
All right, man. Let me know.
All right. So going in no particular order, in terms of how hot the take is, my first one's going to be Chris Godwin finishes as the wide receiver 1 in fantasy.
And why do you think that? Sell us on it a little bit.
For this season, I definitely see Godwin being Brady's go-to target. He always targets the guy going across the middle. And I feel like Brady's made guys like Edelman and Welker near Hall of Fame guys. And I just don't think he's had a talent quite like Chris Godwin. So I think Godwin's going to be able to catch these passes across the middle and then, you know, break off some big plays. And the past couple of years, he's shown to be really efficient in the red zone. So I think Tampa's going to be one of the best offenses in the league. And I think this is going to, in turn, get Godwin a lot of touchdown opportunities. And I think he's going to be Brady's go-to target.
That one, in likelihood. I do like Chris Godwin, and you know that Tom Brady has loved his slot receivers over the years. So I don't think that's too hot of a take. It's just I think it's going to be really hard for him to overtake Michael Thomas or Davante Adams are my top two, just knowing the kind of volume that they're going to get as the true far and away alpha with how many weapons there are in Tampa Bay. But if there's Godwin is definitely the asset in Tampa Bay that I want to own this year. I think he's pretty much locked into a top 10 finish, knowing what we know about Tom Brady. So I don't think him finishing as the wide receiver 1 is too crazy of a take. I could see it.
Yeah, and I'm a personal believer that I feel like it's hard to repeat at the very top of your position year after year. So if I were to pick between Michael Thomas and the field, I would probably take the field almost every time just because I feel like it's just so hard to finish as that top guy.
No, I agree. And it's just there's a couple guys that I think have just as much chance as Godwin. So that's why I say getting specific on Godwin is a pretty hot take considering like Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Julio, if he can finally get in the end zone. These guys are going to be in the mix as well. But I'm going to piggyback kind of off of your take, talking about receivers that you expect to finish high, surprise people with how high they finish. So my first hot take is going to be that DJ Moore is a top 3 fantasy wide receiver in 2020. My logic behind it is kind of that I think the Panthers are going to have the single worst defense in football this season. And I'm a big believer of the hires they made. I really like Joe Brady, out of LSU, the offensive coordinator, and Matt Rhule from Baylor is another creative offensive mind. And I think that they're going to find ways to get DJ Moore the ball. So I'm really excited about DJ Moore this year. In my rankings, I think I have him at wide receiver 7 right now. But after those clear-cut top guys, the safe guys come off the board, he's the one that I circle as a guy that has a ton of upside. And I really am pretty confident he's going to finish higher than his ADP. I got him finishing in the top 3 in my projections right now.
Yeah, that take is definitely one that I can back. I would probably grade it about an 8 out of 10. I think in in that division, you're going to have to score a lot of points. So I think the Panthers are going to be passing the ball a lot and having to put up a lot of points. So in turn, he's going to get a bunch of touchdowns. And going from that QB upgrade from Kyle Allen to Bridgewater, I think, is going to be a big difference too, along with the coaching personnel that they changed this offseason.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I'd say maybe isn't the hottest take on my list. I think a lot of people are coming around on DJ Moore, but he's just a guy I know is going to get a lot of volume and an offense that should be fun, partnered with the high-scoring division he's going to be in and how bad I believe that the Panthers' defense is going to be. There's going to be a lot of negative game scripts, and there's going to be a lot of times that he is featured and featured heavy in that offense. So I'm excited about DJ Moore. And I could even I could have even gone as far as said DJ Moore finishes at the wide receiver one, but that one's a little too spicy for me right now.
Yeah, just a little too spicy. But while we're talking about that division, I'm going to go and back up my very first claim with this one, saying that Mike Evans does not finish as a wide receiver one. And I believe this because I think Godwin's going to be far and away Brady's best target. And we're just not quite sure how Brady's going to be able to get the ball down the field to Evans. So I think this is going to downgrade him just a little bit. And with how many good wide receivers there are in that tier, I just see a lot of guys just passing him up. And I think this is going to bring Evans down to like the wide receiver two range.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give that one a 9 on how confident I am. I'm fully on board with that take. There's just a lot of guys, like you said, in that range that I think are primed for big years. Some of them, some underrated guys like Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp could be finishing ahead of him. Neither one of those would surprise me. I like Calvin Ridley a lot this year. I think he could potentially finish ahead of Mike Evans. And there's just some question marks with what his volume is going to look like with a new quarterback. And they also add Gronk, which we know that Brady and Gronk have a connection. So I could see his red zone targets going down a good bit. And we don't know if Brady's going to take too many deep shots. So there's just too many question marks for me to draft Mike Evans where he's going. And I could definitely see him slipping down this year.
Yeah, and assuming that this is half PPR, in standard, I definitely could see the argument for Evans being a wide receiver one just because he has that big play ability. He doesn't necessarily need a huge amount of volume to produce you yards. But if we're including receptions, I mean, if you look last year in PPR, Evans finished outside the top 12 as well, and that's with Winston, who just chucked it down the field. So with Brady, I do find it a little bit hard to believe that he's going to return the value that he's being drafted at.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on board with that one. I'm going to keep up with this little theme here. I don't think we didn't plan on doing this, but I figured we should go ahead and just do all our receiver takes since our first three have been receiver anyway. So we'll knock out all our wide receiver hot takes to start out the episode and then move on to the next position. But this one was probably one of my hotter ones. And I got Larry Fitzgerald in the last season of his career going over 1,000 yards this season. So year 17, Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think people realize how good Larry Fitzgerald actually was on a snap-to-snap basis last year. I mean, he only had one drop all season, went for 800 yards, only 4 touchdowns. So I'd like to see that number go up a little bit. But got over 100 targets, 75 catches, 800 yards. 4 touchdowns, and now he's got DeAndre Hopkins opposite of him. It's going to take some of the volume, but Larry Fitzgerald is still in great shape. I mean, he really looked good last year and finished in the top 100 on the NFL 100, not fantasy, but the NFL 100 players list. I believe he's still probably a top 100 receiver, or I'm sorry, a top 100 player in the NFL as far as what he can do. Obviously, with age, he's going to be competing with DeAndre Hopkins. This one is a hot take, but final year, Larry Fitzgerald gets over 1,000 yards. He's still got a little bit left in his tank.
Yeah, so I love the hotness of that take, but I don't know if I can get on board with it. So I'll give that a 1 out of 10 just because if he couldn't reach 1,000 yards last year, I just can't see him doing it with a target monster like Hopkins. And I think a guy like Christian Kirk plays better as the wide receiver too. And so I think Hopkins will help him out for sure. So I just kind of see Fitzgerald being the odd man out there. But I do think he could return yardage similar to what he did last year. So I still like him as a player. But 1,000 yards is just a little bit too much that I don't know if I can get behind, especially when you consider like who they play in their division, Seahawks, 49ers, some good defenses. So I'm just not quite sure how he's going to be able to produce in those games.
Yeah, that's fair. Completely fair. Just for context, he finished as the PPR wide receiver 35 this past season, 41 in standard. I don't know. He still looks good. I know that's hot. That's asking him to improve from year 16 to year 17, which is hard to do. Obviously, he's played, had a long, long career. But I just still think he's a great player, and I like Cliff Kingsbury in an offense. Kyler Murray is going to spread the ball out. I know it's hot, but I'm taking Larry Fitzgerald and where he's going for sure. I think he's still going to be productive.
Yeah, so for my next take, I feel like this one's definitely a bit hotter than the first couple ones, but it's going to be Michael Gallup finishes as the top fantasy scoring wide receiver to own in Dallas. If you look at where they're being drafted, you have Cooper being drafted as a borderline wide receiver one, and Gallup's a mid-tier wide receiver three. So there's quite a big difference in terms of where you're drafting them. But if you look last year, Gallup was pretty much on par with Cooper. So I don't get quite why they're being such drafted in different areas. I know Lamb's going to go and limit them just a little bit, but I think that's going to bring Cooper down to earth. And I just think Gallup's going to be able to possibly contend for that top spot. I can't really give you any reason why, but I just don't think Cooper's the clear-cut wide receiver one there. And I think Lamb's going to take some time to get adjusted to the offense. So I could definitely see a case where Gallup does finish above him. And for where they're being drafted, I'm going to take Gallup all day. So I have definitely talked myself into believing that he's going where like way below where he should be in drafts.
Yeah, so they both topped 1,000 yards last year, Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. I'm going to give that take a 3 out of 10 as far as how much I believe it. And it's not so much about Amari Cooper versus Michael Gallup, so to say, as much as it is the presence of CeeDee Lamb for me. I do like Michael Gallup where he's going. He's I think he's safely a top 40 guy. They can all three produce and be valuable fantasy assets. And it's going to be interesting to see for me if it's the start of a new trend or if last year's rookie class is the exception, where we saw rookies really produce this past season. You know, guys like A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, a couple other guys, Metcalf as well, that were really productive as rookies, really burst on the scene. Debo Samuel was a rookie as well. So I think CeeDee Lamb being as heralded as a prospect as he was, something that I just can't ignore. And get by enough to say that Gallup is going to, one, hold CeeDee Lamb off, and two, get enough production to pass Amari Cooper, who they just invested $100 million into. But like you said, at ADP, I like Gallup at ADP more than I like Cooper at ADP, just based on the fact that I think they're both going to see a little bit of regression due to the presence of CeeDee Lamb. But let's look at it real quick. We got Amari Cooper at the wide receiver 10. In ADP, and Michael Gallup is going off the board at the wide receiver 30. So definitely would rather spend that wide receiver 30 price tag on Michael Gallup than wide receiver 10 price tag on Amari Cooper right now.
Yeah, and I just don't see Cooper being a true target hog. He's just super inconsistent. He'll have a big game 1 week, and then he's going to go and do nothing to do nothing the next week. So I really think it's going to come down to how the touchdowns fall, who gets those, who gets like the meaningful red zone targets, because I don't see Cooper blowing Gallup away in terms of yardage.
Yeah, I agree. And Gallup is still probably going to be their number one deep threat, even with CeeDee Lamb in the picture. Amari Cooper is more the route running type, and I think him and Lamb are going to split the slot reps. So I do think Gallup is still going to have big plays pretty much week in and week out, and he's still going to be a very productive fantasy asset. It's just the two things combined there that they just invested so much money in Amari Cooper and the fact that they spent first-round draft capital on CeeDee Lamb that has me. It's enough to at least throw up the red flag for me and think that this takes a little too hot for me. But I'm going to piggyback off we just talked a little bit about CeeDee Lamb, the rookie wide receiver, who was my rookie wide receiver too, which is kind of a hot take in itself. But, and I'm going to talk about who was my rookie wide receiver one, Jerry Jeudy. I've got Jerry Jeudy set to outscore Courtland Sutton in the second half of the season. It's kind of what I was saying about CeeDee Lamb, where he's just such a heralded prospect, like someone that everybody knew was kind of a can't-miss prospect. And Jerry Jeudy was right there with him neck and neck, legitimately the best route runner I've ever scouted in my life. I think he's going to come into the NFL as a top 10, 15 route runner as a rookie. I'm not going to say he's going to be running as crisp of routes as Keenan Allen or Stephon Diggs right away, but he's going to come in, and I just guarantee you what he did in college is going to translate. I'm not saying he's going to be the best receiver in the NFL, but there's no doubt in my mind that his production is going to translate. Route running translates, and I think he's going to kill man-to-man from day one. I don't think you're going to be able to put a corner on an island against Jerry Jeudy. And I think by the end of the year, especially the last 5 or 6 weeks, he's going to overtake Courtland Sutton to be the wide receiver one in Denver.
Yeah, so I'll grade that a 5 out of 10. With it being like the second half of the season, I could definitely get behind that, because I do think a lot of these rookies will start a bit slow without having a training camp. But once they get used to the offense, I could definitely see a lot of these guys blowing up. And looking at Sutton's stats last year towards the end with Lockett quarterback, it was nothing super spectacular. So if Lock and Jeudy build a solid rep with each other, I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I've come on other podcasts before, when even before the draft, before we knew landing spots, I talked about how high I was on Jerry Jeudy. So this might not surprise anybody that's listened before, but I just am very confident that route running is going to translate. And so there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a productive fantasy asset. The hot take of it is overtaking Courtland Sutton, as good as he was last year, going over 1,000 yards. So it is a lot to ask of a rookie, but I just think Jerry Jeudy's that good. And before we move on to the next take, let me ask you, how many more takes do you have about wide receivers? Because I only have one more.
I have two more.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead with yours, and then you'll finish the last wide receiver take.
So my next one's about a guy who everybody's all over in the industry. A bunch of Dolphins fans are picking him to be their favorite wide receiver later on this season. And it's going to be Preston Williams outscores Devontae Parker the second half of the season. I just view Parker, he's kind of an unknown guy. It took him like 5 years to really show what he could be. And I'm not quite sure if that's just a fluke, because at the beginning of 2019, Williams did outscore Devontae Parker in that first half of the season. So I feel like once he gets a few games under his belt back from that ACL tear, they get two win there. I could definitely see this happening. I think it really just depends on who's getting the volume. And it's definitely one that I can get behind.
Yeah, I'm going to give that one a 5 out of 10. I actually thought Preston Williams was the better receiver over Devontae Parker at the end of last year. Or, I'm sorry, before the ACL tear. Obviously, he wasn't playing at the end of last year. But on paper, I actually like Preston Williams better than Devontae Parker, like I just said. But with the ACL tear being so fresh, numbers kind of back up that players are not at their best the first year after an ACL tear. But I'll be all over Preston Williams as long as they don't add a ton of weapons going into his third season. So the year after this, I really like Preston Williams as a talent. I didn't know who he was, obviously, honestly, when he was in college. So him being undrafted, I can't say it was criminal. But as good as he was in Miami, it's hard to imagine that there were that many wide receivers worthy of getting drafted over him.
Yeah, and I've definitely had ACL tears scare me away from guys before. Cooper Kupp, for instance, last season, I did not want to target him at all, but he definitely came and proved everybody wrong, finishing as a top 5 fantasy wide receiver.
Yeah, there's definitely exceptions, and Preston Williams, with the kind of volume he was getting in Miami this past season, I could definitely be one of those exceptions. So I'm okay with that take. Like I said, 5 out of 10. I could see it happening. I'm not betting on it, but I could see it happening. So I just got one more wide receiver take. And I don't know who needs to hear this. A lot of people are kind of still on board with this guy despite what happened last year. Odell Beckham is not the same player he was in New York. I have him. My hot take here is that he does not finish in the top 24. So you got Kevin Stefanski coming to Cleveland. He was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year. We know the Vikings struggled to that offense struggled to have two fantasy-relevant wide receivers on a week-to-week basis. Obviously, Diggs and Thielen both had good weeks, but there are some consistency issues there. And we know that the Browns are going to run the ball a ton because of Kevin Stefanski. You got Nick Chubb, who's one of the best pure runners in football, and Kareem Hunt, who I think is, as a talent, easily a top 15 running back in football, just needs to get the usage to prove it. So I just don't think that there's going to be enough volume for both OBJ and Jarvis Landry to finish above wide receiver 25. And to me, Jarvis Landry's the guy to own there. He's gotten the volume last year. Him and Baker Mayfield seem to have a good connection there. So I am saying that Odell Beckham Jr. does not finish in the top 24.
Yeah, I'll grade this a 4 out of 10. Odell's definitely not a guy that I'm targeting for where he's going, but they owe him so much money. And last year he was not good whatsoever, but he still finished. I believe he was like top 20 roughly. He was pretty close to that. And I think he was still hampered by the injury that he suffered prior to the season. So I do think he's going to come back and be better than what he was last year. But I do agree. I think them being run heavy is going to hurt him, and having Landry there is going to hurt him too, because Landry's Mr. Consistent. He, like, you already know what he's going to do.
I didn't even touch on Hooper coming in. I think Hooper's better than Njoku ever was.
Yeah, it'll be tough, but I don't know. It's definitely hard to bet against a guy of Odell's skill level.
Yeah, that's why it's hot. But, okay, you said you have one more wide receiver take, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get that last receiver take, and then we'll move on to the next position.
So Brandon Cooks avoids another concussion and finishes as a top 20 wide receiver. And the only thing that I feel like is going to prevent this from happening is if he gets another concussion. But I would assume O'Brien will scheme plays to put him in less scenarios to where he's likely to get hit in the head or suffer a pretty big hit. But I do view him to be the wide receiver one to own in Houston. He's shown in years past that he can deliver top 15 years, and he's gone from team to team, so I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. And I, like, you look at Will Fuller's pass, and he plays like half the season every year. So I do think it's likely that one of the other guys is going to finish top 20. And I would put my money on Cooks every time, just because he's already done it. I don't think his injury history is as serious as Fuller's. And when you have a guy who's projected to be a top 5 QB like Deshaun Watson, I mean, someone has to catch his passes. So I think Cooks will be in for a pretty solid year.
Yeah, I'm going to give that one a 7 out of 10. I am confident that if he's on the field, Cooks is the guy to own in Houston. I think he's just the best receiver that they have currently, and he's shown that he can be productive with the Rams, with the Saints, and with the Patriots. He's just a guy that's gotten it done everywhere he's been. So I do have faith that he's going to be productive if he's on the field, but that's just a big question mark. That's why I can't go higher on this take. How confident I am in it is because who knows if he's going to be on the field. Will Fuller obviously also has the injury problems. They got Randall Cobb, and who else is it? Kenny Stills is also there. So, I mean, there's nobody really there that I'm super excited about. Personally, I'm staying away from Houston receivers just because of the question marks. But like you said, Deshaun Watson is supposed to be a top 5, top 6 quarterback in fantasy this year. Then somebody's going to have to be the one that he's throwing the ball to. And of the guys that they have on the roster, Brandon Cooks is probably the safest bet. So I could get behind that take for sure.
Yeah, and touching on the Houston receivers, I could definitely see Randall Cobb being a pretty solid guy who's going to give you good return, because I do think it's a guarantee that Fuller's going to get hurt at some point. And as we've already mentioned, Cooks, you know, he does have an injury history as well with like with concussions. So if you're looking for like a late round flyer, I could definitely get behind getting Randall Cobb, because he quietly had a pretty solid year in Dallas last year, and that's with Gallup and Cooper being in that core as well.
Yeah, I'm actually a fan of Randall Cobb in general as a player. I mean, he was great in Green Bay, relatively productive last year. And I actually shout out Destination Devi on YouTube. I was watching a video the other day that was talking about how the Texans don't really have a tight end of note and how much that does for Randall Cobb's value as a slot receiver. He's pretty much the only target that they have that's going to fill that role on the short route. So he could be really good in PPR. But we can move on. I don't know what all takes you have left, but I was figuring that I'm going to go through my tight end and my quarterback takes before we get into the running backs. We'll save the running backs for last, just because those are kind of the position that matters the most in fantasy more often than not, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that works with me.
All right, so I'll get into my my tight end. I'll do my tight end take first. And it's a relative unknown here, somebody a lot of people haven't been talking about, and that's Jonnu Smith, the tight end in Tennessee. I got finishing the season as the tight end 6. So I couldn't go as far as to put him over the likes of Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, Ertz, or Waller is the one I had still above him as well. But I think he is going to be healthy and was great after Ryan Tannehill took the starting job. Really played well down the stretch this past season. Is extremely cheap in drafts. You can get him close to your last pick of the draft. If not your last pick, I'd have to check the ADP. But he's just a guy I think he's going to get kind of pep. It's not a big throwing offense, but we know that Tannehill doesn't like to take a lot of risks and is going to be willing to take his short passes, kind of take the dump off throws. And I think Jonnu Smith is the guy that is going to eat off of those.
Yeah, I'll give that take a 6 out of 10. Jonnu's definitely a guy that I'm targeting. Just as you said, he looked good once Tannehill had the starting job last season. And if you look at the other guys who are receiving in that, like on that team, you really don't see anybody else besides A.J. Brown. So I do think Jonnu will be able to be the clear clear number 2 option in that offense. And I do think he could surprise us and return pretty good.
So wide receiver 6 too high for him, though?
A little too high. There's a bunch of guys that I would say will finish higher than him, but he's definitely in that like second tier mix of guys that I want to target if I'm like if I don't get any of like the top 5 guys or so.
I agree, obviously. You got a tight end take for us?
Yeah, so my next take is Jared Cook finishes as a top 6 tight end. If you drafted Jared Cook the past couple years, you've gotten an absolute steal. He's finished as a clear tight end 1 the past 2 years in Oakland and last season with the Saints. So I think he's like another value that you could find later in the draft. I don't think the Saints have a clear number 2 outside of Michael Thomas and Kamara. Well, I guess Kamara. But like in the red zone, Cook definitely showed to be one of Drew Brees' favorite targets last year. So I think he has 10 touchdown upside. And when you're looking at the rest of the tight ends, I definitely think that'll give him a like clear tight end 1 finish. And I'm not a super big believer in the guys like Henry and Ingram. They just seem to always get hurt. And but I think they're good talents, but if they don't play the full 16, I think Cook will. He hasn't shown that he's injury prone. So I do think he has a top 6 upside for tight end.
Yeah, I'll give this one a 5 out of 10. Obviously, I have Jonnu. Jonnu being my guy that's kind of going in a similar draft range and surprising people. But when I was looking for these takes, late round tight ends that I liked a lot, Jared Cook was a name that I looked at. And I just want to read off some numbers. So he missed week 7 and week 8. I'm looking at PPR scoring here. Comes back, scores over 10 PPR points in every game other than week 15. He went for 9.4 in PPR. But he had a week of 13, 21, 20, 20 and 23 over that stretch, and 7 touchdowns over the last 7 weeks of football. So he really came on strong after the injury, and I don't really know why. His price tag is still so low. I'm not worried about Adam Trautman, who they drafted. What was that, the 4th round?
I think 3rd round.
Okay. Yeah, they added Adam Trautman. Rookie tight ends typically are not big factors. Eventually, I actually love Adam Trautman for dynasty purposes. He's sitting on my taxi squad in our league. But right now, his presence is not scaring me from Jared Cook at all. And at his price tag, he is an absolute must draft, in my opinion. So I could get behind that take for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, like, once again, when you're looking at, like, their division, they're going to have to put up points. So I do think in those 6 matchups that they have against Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, I think he's going to be a touchdown guy. And, you know, that makes me like him a lot, honestly.
Yeah, I can 100% get behind it. Did you have another tight end take, or just – because that was the only tight end take I had. So if you have another one, I'd rather go ahead and get that one.
I do have one more. So it's going to be Jack Doyle outscores names such as Gesicki, Gronk, Hockenson, Fant, and Goddard to finish as tight end 1. And if you look at where Doyle's going, he's going as the tight end 18. And he's going to be the clear number 1 tight end in that offense. And we know from years past, Phillip Rivers loves to target the tight ends in the red zone. And if you look on the Colts team, I don't quite know. Like, you don't really know how Paris Campbell will do and Michael Pittman. They're both young guys, a little bit unknown. And then T.Y. has the injury history as well. He's a little bit older up there in age. So I think, once again, Doyle could be a tight end target and be one of River security blankets. And I think he will definitely outperform the value that he's going at right now.
Yeah, I see the intrigue with Doyle, just was because of what we know with Rivers and the unknowns of the receivers in Indianapolis, kind of like you said. But I'm going to give that one a 3 out of 10, only because I am pretty high on those young, talented receivers. I do like Paris Campbell. I don't think you can really write him off based on a really injury-riddled season last year. He was a big-time prospect coming out of Ohio State. So I'm still kind of in on Paris Campbell. Michael Pittman is a big-time red zone threat that I think is going to produce from day one. So those two young receivers are guys I like, and I think the Colts are going to run the ball a good bit after the investment they put in Jonathan Taylor and having a couple talented running backs already on the roster in Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines. So I can't get behind him finishing over all of those guys that you mentioned, but I will agree with you on the fact that he's definitely a late round tight end worth taking a risk on. We know that Rivers likes to feed the tight end. It's just the two names that stood out to me there were Hockenson and Fant. I don't think he's going to produce over either one of those guys just because of the talents they have. Like, I think they're both due to take a step up this year. I'm not saying they're going to be elite tight end options, but I'm hoping, like, I'd be happy if I drafted Doyle and he's the tight end 12 or 13. From a value perspective where you had to pay for him. And I think Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson both finish in that 8 to 10 range. So I can't get behind that one completely, but I like Jack Doyle as a late round tight end.
So would you agree that he finishes as tight end 12?
I'm trying to think in my head. His chances go up a lot if one of Ingram or Henry go down, which is pretty likely, I will say. I have Jonnu over him. I think I like Blake Jarwin a little bit more than him as a late-round flyer. I don't think he finishes top 12. I think he could finish in that range, and I see the upside of buying him there, but I don't think he finishes top 12.
All right. What's your next take?
Yeah, I'm going to move on to quarterbacks. I only have one quarterback take. And this is one of the ones, honestly, that I'm more excited about and more confident in than maybe I should be. And we're going back to Carolina. Talked about how I liked the hire of Joe Brady, how I liked the hire of Matt Rhule, how I expect DJ Moore to have a big year. And we know Christian McCaffrey is going to be a big-time fantasy asset, a big-time football player. So I think we should be giving a little more love to Teddy Bridgewater. I got Teddy Bridgewater to outscore NFL legend Aaron Rodgers and finish as a top 10 quarterback in 2020.
I'll give that a 4 out of 10. I definitely like Bridgewater for where he's going. When I'm looking for a quarterback, too, with upside, I typically really don't want to draft the older guys like Big Ben and Rivers just because I feel like we kind of know what they're going to be. Whereas Bridgewater is a big unknown going into that offense with Joe Brady and all the weapons that he has. So it's kind of an exciting pick that I like to make and that I think I will be making a lot in drafts this year. Outscoring Aaron Rodgers, I do think that's likely. You know, they were super run heavy last year, invested a early round pick in A.J. Dillon. So we don't quite know what Rodgers' a touchdown upside will be. And outside of Adams in that court, there's really nobody that stands out. Lazard, I don't really think he's going to be anything special. So I'm definitely on board with that. As the quarterback 12, though, I don't know. Quarterback's so deep.
I had him at QB 10, man. QB 10.
It's super tough. It's deep. I mean, there's really like 28 guys, I think, have the chance to do that. So that's why I gave it the grade that I did. But
yeah, I'm just super excited about the game scripts I think he's going to be in. I really think that defense is the single worst defense in football. And we already touched on with a couple of the other players we talked about. The NFC South has probably three of the top six or seven offenses in all of the NFL. The Bucs are going to put up points. The Saints are going to put up points. The Falcons are going to put up points. So I think Bridgewater, especially in those six games, is going to have to throw the ball 40 times to have any chance. So I'm just excited about the game script he's going to have. And especially, I'm looking at ADP right now. Got Teddy Bridgewater going out to quarterback 26. So he's going behind Phillip Rivers, behind Drew Lock, behind Sam Darnold, behind Jimmy Garoppolo, Big Ben are all guys he's going after. And then you got Aaron Rodgers up here going at QB 10. He's going ahead of Carson Wentz, ahead of Tom Brady, ahead of Matthew Stafford. No question. I'm fading that Aaron Rodgers tier of quarterbacks. I'm pretty confident with taking a guy like Teddy Bridgewater real, real late.
So just to ask, in that free dynasty league that we're both in, I took Bridgewater after you took Garoppolo. I took him probably like a round and a half later or so.
I wasn't on board all the way yet.
So right now, would you do that trade straight up for Bridgewater, Garoppolo for Bridgewater?
Yes. Well, here's what I'll say. The only reason in Dynasty, it's a little different. These takes for me have all been about redraft. The only reason I would say maybe not in Dynasty is because I still expect the Panthers to own a top five pick next year. And you got Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and potentially we'll see how he does this year. Trey Lance are those kind of talents. I do find it hard to believe that if they're picking that high, they don't take a quarterback. That's the red flag for me in Dynasty. But redraft them 100% Teddy Bridgewater over Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know. They just gave Bridgewater that four-year deal. I don't know if there's like an easy out in it, but I feel like they're kind of invested in him.
I agree to a certain extent. He's going to be on the roster. He's not going to get cut. They're not going to – but we've seen him as a backup to Drew Brees, and everything we heard out of New Orleans was that he was a great backup. I don't think he's the type of guy whose ego is too big to mentor a guy. And even if they do draft a quarterback, I could see him starting a second year. It's just typically – and we kind of saw the Chargers this past year do a similar thing with Justin Herbert. But if you're taking – if you're picking that high – you kind of need to take a quarterback because the hit rate on quarterbacks that aren't taken early dips significantly. So if you have any sort of need at quarterback, which I would say Teddy Bridgewater is a – they still have somewhat of a need, and you're picking in the top five, you probably need to go ahead and invest in that position. That's my only – that's my red flag here.
Yeah, that's fair. Carrying on with the QBs, for late-round targets as a QB2, I have Derek Carr finishes as a QB1 in fantasy. And last year, Carr was top 20, and that's with literally no one to throw it to besides Waller. And in the draft this year, they add Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs. So I definitely think he's going to have an improved wide receiver core. You're going to have a guy like Renfro come back into his second year. Waller's second year full-time in that offense as well. So I definitely think he has a lot of upside. And last year he struggled with he didn't really take any risks. But in fantasy, I don't really know how much that's going to hurt him because he's not going to be throwing picks. He actually had a pretty good touchdown to interception ratio at 21-8. So I look for that to improve. And I don't know. I definitely think Carr has a lot of upside for where he's going right now.
Yeah, I'm going to give that one a 3 out of 10, kind of because of what you mentioned about how many quarterbacks there are in that go in a similar range that could make that jump. And like I just said, I'm pretty high on Teddy Bridgewater this year. And the main reason I'm out on this take is not because of Derek Carr as a player or because of his weapons. Even they did add some weapons that I would be pretty excited about. It's that I actually considered making one of my takes that Josh Jacobs leads the NFL in rushing yards. I just think he's going to be heavily featured on the ground, at least. I don't know what he'll look like in PPR, how many touches he'll get out of the backfield. But I think they're going to feed Josh Jacobs on a lot of first and second downs this year, so I can't get behind Derek Carr finishing that high. But a lot of those guys, Derek Carr is one of them. Teddy Bridgewater is one of them. I'd even throw Gardner Minshew in there as guys that are going way too late and will have – I'm sure one of them finishes in the top 12, way over those guys that were drafting early.
Yeah. I definitely don't think Jacobs has the number one overall rusher upside, but I do think he will take a leap this year. And I think that'll just help the Raiders offense as a whole. Just more longer drives. He'll help them sustain drives as well. So that's going to give him more touch on opportunities. I don't know. I just think this offense will be a lot better this year under Gruden.
And I will say, similar to what we said about those NFC South teams, that's a division that it's going to have to score a lot to keep up with Kansas City. We saw Denver invest heavily in offensive weapons this offseason. You had Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler. Also Albert O as a tight end too there. So they just had – they invested heavily in weapons. The Chargers, I don't really know what to expect from the Chargers, whether it be Tyrod or – Justin Herbert under center to start the year. But we know the Chiefs are going to score a lot, and I'm a guy that's pretty high on the Broncos this year with all the investments they made. So I do think they're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up in this division, both this year and long term. So that Derek Carr has that going for him. He should be having to throw the ball to keep up. Did you have any more quarterback takes?
That was my only one.
Okay, so we just got, let me see, I got 5 takes left. All running back for me?
I have 3 more takes left.
Okay, so I'll double up real quick right here, and then we'll go back and forth 3 and 3. I'll finish it.
All right, sounds good.
And I'll lump these two together because they're both rookies, and you can grade them separately for me. So one of my hot takes was I got Antonio Gibson becomes the RB to own in Washington. I didn't get too specific on this one just because coronavirus and new coaching staff, it's going to be hard to tell which – I mean, I don't know what week he's going to take over. But you got Darius Geis there who has a ton of injury, red flags, and Adrian Peterson who is practically superhuman, the fact that he's survived all the injuries he's had in his past. And is still running at a relatively high level. But I think that Antonio Gibson by the end of the year is the running back you want to own in that backfield. And I'm going to take late round flyers on him in just about every redraft league I'm in, because I think if he does get the job with his receiving ability, his speed, his explosiveness, there is a lot of upside there, even in an offense that I don't expect to be very good. He's just a guy that I think can break out big plays, and by the end of the year, I think he's the guy you're going to want.
Yeah, so I'll grade that one an 8 out of 10. In dynasty purposes, Gibson's a guy that I'm definitely targeting. And people love to say that that backfield's super crowded, but, I mean, when you look at a bunch of those guys that are on the roster, I'm sure Peyton Barber's going to get cut. Adrian Peterson's done. Bryce Love's nothing to worry about. So I think it really comes down to Geis and Gibson. And if we look at, like, the past 2 years, Geis has just shown that he cannot stay healthy. Like, he hasn't surpassed 10 carries in a single game. So I definitely wouldn't put the bet on him staying healthy this whole year. And I think from day one, Gibson will have a role in that offense as, like, a receiving back. Just because if you look at their other options that they have, they literally have, like, nobody outside of McLaurin.
Yeah, I think their number two is Steven Sims right now.
Yeah, so, like, I think from day one, he's going to have some value for fantasy. And I can't be on board with guys staying healthy the whole year. So I feel like once he goes down to an injury, I think Gibson will run away with the job.
Yeah, he's a guy – I mean, I'm pretty excited about him where you can get him. I want to say he's like 14th round ADP, but let me pull up real quick just to make sure I'm not talking out of my ass here and giving you guys some false information. But let's see. Antonio Gibson is going as the RB53, so a little earlier than I thought, actually. He's going right ahead of Justin Jackson. I would take him in that range. I actually think I would take Justin Jackson over him, but – I'm looking at the guys directly above him. You got Rashad Penny, Boston Scott, A.J. Dillon, Daryl Henderson. I would take him over all of those guys. He's a guy I'm excited about what he could be because I think he is going to be the guy by the end of the year. But I'll just so we catch up, you have three takes left. I got four. So I'll go ahead and give my next one. And I'll give this one next just because he's a rookie as well. This guy I'm really excited about. I own him in a couple leagues. In our main league, the one that me and you are in, I have DeAndre Swift finishing higher than Leonard Fournette this season. So I got him in that dynasty league, and I'm extremely excited about him long term. But even this year, DeAndre Swift is going to be the guy relatively early. I could see Kerryon being involved the first 3 or 4 weeks and stealing some of it. But DeAndre Swift was my RB1 pre-draft. I am not a huge fan of the Detroit Lions as a landing spot, but the talent is almost can't miss with DeAndre Swift. He's kind of in the mold of a Dalvin Cook talent-wise, like just runs hard, can catch passes. It's really hard to bring down. He's elusive, and he has that top-end speed. He's just a talent that I want every share of I can get. And Leonard Fournette to kind of support why that's the name I picked is – I think it's very clear and evident that Leonard Fournette is out of Jacksonville at the end of this year. So for me, there's no reason whatsoever for Jacksonville to put a lot of – to invest like a lot of time into Leonard Fournette. They're going to find out what they have in those other young backs that they have on the roster, whether it's like Chris Thompson, it's going to be that receiving back, and then they have Reichwell Armstead, I think is his name. I just think they're going to kind of find out what they have, and Leonard Fournette is not going to get nearly the workload he got last year. So I like DeAndre Swift, even as a rookie, to finish in the top 18 range of running backs this year and finish ahead of Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, grading that take, I'll give it a 4 out of 10. I definitely like Swift as a prospect and in redraft purposes. I do think he's going to be the clear back at some point this season in that backfield. I'm pretty sure Kerryon will just get hurt at some point, so he'll have the job by then. But if we're looking at who else is in the Jaguars backfield, I don't see anybody that's going to threaten Fournette. Even this year, like, you know, Chris Thompson's going to get hurt. He never stays healthy whatsoever. Then Armstead, he's a fifth round draft pick. I just don't think the Jaguars even think he'll be the long-term solution. So I think it really just comes down to, I think Fournette will for sure start off the season solid. They may look to give Armstead some more carries towards the back half, maybe like the last three games or so, if they're not in any contention whatsoever, or if they're trying to tank. But really, it just comes down to I don't see anybody being able to threaten Fournette in that backfield, and I don't know if Swift will get the starting job soon enough to threaten Fournette in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely fair. I think Fournette is – it's hard for me to say that for sure Armstead's going to get, like, a ton of value, of volume. It's just I don't think that the Jaguars' offense is going to be good, and – I don't think the Jaguars have any reason to put up with Leonard Fournette if he has any sort of attitude this year about wanting out, has any sort of lack of effort. There's no reason for the Jaguars to help Leonard Fournette out and up his value, especially with Gardner Minshew being the starting quarterback, who I actually like Gardner Minshew a lot. But chances are they're going to want to invest in a quarterback in the near future with the year that Trevor Lawrence is available. I wouldn't surprise me at all if the Jaguars are doing a little bit of a tank job to land Trevor Lawrence. So I just am out on Leonard Fournette and excited about DeAndre Swift. But that's a hot take. That's why it's a hot take. I know that's a controversial one.
Yeah, and speaking on hot takes, I'm sure you're going to give this one a 1 out of 10. But it's Sony Michel rushes for 1,150 yards and 8 TDs. My thought process behind this is he's never played with a mobile QB like Cam Newton. So I think with Cam's rushing ability, that's going to open up lanes for Sony. And we don't quite know what they're going to be passing the ball. So I do think they're going to look to run the ball, chew clock, play good defense. I think if Sony's able to stay healthy, I think he's going to definitely outperform the value that he's going at. I'm pretty sure he's somewhere in like the late 30s. You know, like James White's not going to sit there and threaten him, for rushing yards on the ground. He's going to be the receiving back. So I think they're going to look to run the ball. I think Newton's going to help open up lanes for him, and I could definitely see him finishing with that amount of yardage and touchdowns.
Yeah. So you were right. I am going to give that one a 1 out of 10. Sony Michel is pretty talented as a running back, but it's actually the name that you left off when talking about the Patriots' backfield that is the reason I'm going to give it a 1 out of 10. And I'm kind of a firm believer that, like, where there's a smoke, there's a fire. And everything coming out so far from Boston, from New England, is that Damian Harris will be involved a lot more than he was this past season. So, I mean, I don't think he was really involved at all this past season. I think he might have had, like, 6 carries all year. But they're saying that Damian Harris will get touches, and it'll be the RB by committee with Harris, Michelle, and obviously James White on passing downs involved. So that's really why I can't get behind it. I've kind of been burned by Patriots running backs in the past. You know, Belichick is going to just ride with the guy, kind of whoever he's feeling that day. You don't know what to expect with Belichick, but he's going to play whoever he thinks give his team the best guy to win on any given day. He doesn't really have any ties to anybody that makes me think that he will keep feeding Sony Michel if he's not performing. So, coming off the injury, Damian Harris' presence, and Bill Belichick just kind of being volatile with running backs, like playing this guy, playing whoever he wants. I mean, I think we saw Brandon Bolden get a couple touchdowns last season. So, I can't get behind that one. I do not hate him at his ADP, but those numbers are pretty gaudy for a running back that I don't think is going to have nearly that much volume.
I don't know. He was trash last year and still went over for 900 yards. I just don't see them being super pass heavy. And Harris wasn't involved whatsoever last year. So, I mean, he can get his 5 carries a game. I don't think it's going to make them. So I do think a LeGarrette Blount type season is definitely in the cards for Sony.
See, I think it ends up being closer to 50-50 than you're giving it credit right now. But I mean, that remains to see. We don't know with Bill Belichick. But Damian Harris is just a guy that I think is going to get on the field. He was really good at Alabama. So even if it's closer to like 60-40 in Sony Michel's favor, especially with James White being the third down guy, I don't see him getting to those numbers. But we'll see. We'll see. You may be right. I may look like an idiot when we listen to this back and I don't know, 8 months before we do an episode like this next year.
I'll remember.
I could very, very well be wrong. Let's see. I got a couple more running back takes. Okay, here's one. And I got Ezekiel Elliott to lead the league in touchdowns. I don't think that's too hot of a take, honestly. That might be one of the not even close to the hottest I've said so far. But I just think the Cowboys' offense is going to be elite, extremely elite. They added CeeDee Lamb to an offense that was already elite. And we know what Zeke is. He's been extremely consistent through his years. I don't think he really took a step back last year like people are saying he did. He was still extremely productive. And especially for fantasy purposes, he's extremely productive. And I think this offense is going to put up a lot of points. They're going to succeed in the red zone. And with Mike McCarthy in town, I think Zeke is going to be heavily featured when we do get into the red zone. And he's going to lead the league in touchdowns. That's my take.
Yeah, I'll give that a 5 out of 10. Zeke's definitely one of my top three backs this season. And as you said, their offense is one of the best in the NFL, so I think it's going to lead to a lot of scoring opportunities. And if you look at McCaffrey's and Saquon's offenses, they're not super great, so you don't really know how much touchdown upside they're going to have. Like, obviously, they're going to hit about 10, but, I mean,
yeah,
that's definitely not going to be the highest TD total in the league. Aaron Jones, they bring in A.J. Dillon, so you don't really know if he's going to continue to get all the goal line carries that he did last year. And I don't know. Touchdowns is really hard to predict, but I do think it just comes down to luck. You know, who's able to get lucky with their red zone opportunities. But I do like Zeke. So I definitely could see the touchdowns rolling in his favor.
And just for context here, last year, this is both rushing and receiving. Zeke had 14 touchdowns, 12 on the ground and 2 as a receiver. And let me check. I know Aaron Jones and McCaffrey tied for the lead. So let me see what CMC scored.
They had to this past 20.
Year. I was gonna say I think it was like 19, but I don't know for sure. So let's see. He had.
It was definitely Aaron Jones who had the most.
Like I think 16, they tied.
Like 16 rushing touchdowns and then I guess 3 receiving, because 19 sounds about right.
Because, yeah, McCaffrey had 15 on the ground and 4 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, it's 19.
So, I think it was, either 19 or 20. Aaron Jones may have beat him, but I'm pretty sure they tied for that lead. So, he had Zeke had 14 last year. And the Cowboys' offense was actually really abysmal in the red zone. As good as they were not good in the red zone. And if they improve on that, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all for Zeke to lead the league in touchdowns. Yeah, they both had 19. Now I'm looking at Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that takes crazy. Carrying on with the running backs, my next take is J.K. Dobbins finishes the second half of the season as an RB1. And for where Dobbins is going in drafts, he's an absolute bargain in redraft formats. You know, like last year, Ingram – He played really well. He was able to find the end zone a lot. But he's getting up there in age. And I think about halfway through the season, I think they're going to see what they have in Dobbins. And, I mean, I feel like they're going to sit there and put out the best guy possible. So I definitely think that Dobbins could be a league winner for a lot of guys. And, you know, in that offense, he's going to have a lot of opportunities. Last year, they put up points at will whenever they wanted, whether it was through Lamar's legs or him getting some long, crazy touchdown pass. That offense was crazy. So I do think that they're going to carry on from that from last season. And I think he's going to have a lot of upside.
Yeah, I can get behind that one relatively confidently, actually. I'll give that one like a 7 out of 10. I think that he could kind of have a similar trajectory to what Miles Sanders had last year. I think he's going to be more involved early on in the season than people realize. He's good. He's explosive, and he can catch the ball a little bit. So I think he's going to be on the field more than people are giving him credit for from day one. And his ADP, I think, is almost criminal where he's going right now. But Mark Ingram has not been some image of durability in his career, and as good as he was last year, J.K. Dobbins kind of provides a different skill set. And if he, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he takes that takes that role kind of by the reins and is finishing putting up top 10 weeks from like week 10 to week 16, week 17, where he's consistently having top 10 weeks. So I actually like that take a lot. I'll give that a 7 out of 10. I'm all in on J.K. Dobbins at his price tag.
Yeah, and if you look at Mark Ingram's stats from last year, he really didn't catch the ball that much. So I think if Dobbins is able to secure a bunch of the receptions from Ingram, I think that's going to give him a lot of upside. And I'll take a reception over a carry all day.
Yeah, especially in PPR, obviously, like you said. And I hear a lot of people, like whether it be YouTubers or podcasts or something, talking about where, like, J.K. Dobbins is a dynasty asset. And where he's going to go in redraft next year. There's people talking about him as like a second round pick in redraft next year because Mark Ingram will be out of the picture. He's not under contract after this season. I don't think there's any possible way he does that if he's not productive this year. If people are saying they're going to be that high on him next year, he's going to have to do something this year to earn that kind of hype, to earn that kind of investment from most fantasy owners. So I think he's going to be involved from day one, and I think by the end of it, he's going to be leading that backfield. So I like that take a lot.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that because Miles Sanders quietly finished as RB1 towards the end of last season, and people were still skeptical of taking him in the first round, even in Dynasty. So I do think I see Dobbins for sure being a second-round pick, and then for him to be a first-round pick, he is going to have to show that he is capable of being a workhorse. Just going off the fact that Ingram's gone, I don't think will be enough to vault him into the first round. He's definitely gonna have to like show us something.
Yeah, I agree. So we got two more takes to each, correct?
I just have one more.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. I'll be last. So got two more, both involving running backs. We're gonna go out to Miami. And I'm going to put a little caveat on this one. I'm only going to stand by this take. So if I'm wrong on this, you can only hold it against me if this comes true. And this is saying that Tua Tagovailoa is the starter by week three. So if Tua is the starter by week three, Tua's a quarterback I think is going to produce from day one. I think he's NFL ready. Just an extremely smart player. If Tua is there in that offense, I think he plays a big part in whether or not the offense is productive. I think Jordan Howard makes a return to the top 20 fantasy running backs. So I was looking at this before we started recording. Jordan Howard finished in the top 20 3 years in a row before this past year. His past year was the only year he was not in the top 20. Yeah, he was 10 as a rookie, 14 as a sophomore, and 20 in year three. He only played 10 games last year and finished as PPR running back 43. But I think he's going to be the goal line guy. If Tua is there, I think they're going to be a relatively good offense. I think he gets back close to that 1,000-yard mark. I'd say maybe between 920 and 1,050 is realistic with 10, 11 touchdowns on the ground. So Jordan Howard is going a lot later than I would project him to be. I think he's going to win the job over Breida. I think Breida is more the change of pace guy. But I think people are scared off by Breida. But I think Jordan Howard's going to have a big year and finish top 20.
Yeah, I'll grade that a 5 out of 10. It's definitely one that I can get behind because I don't think it's that hard to finish as an RB2 in fantasy. I think it really just comes down to staying healthy since guys miss so many games. I feel like if he's able to play the full 16, I think he's going to get enough work to finish top 20. I do think Breida will limit him just a little bit, but Breida has shown in the past that it's tough for him to stay healthy. So I do think Howard will be the clear cut one there. And as you said, I think once Tua has the job, I think that offense will be pretty solid. I think Parker's going to be good. Same with Preston Williams. So I do think that offense will be improved a lot from last year. So I do think this is in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and now that I got ADP pulled up, I just wanted to say he's going as the RB35 right now. So he's going after both of the Bucs running backs, and I'm sure this this data I'm looking at does not have the very recent drafts since the LeSean McCoy news. sure Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn are going a little bit later than this now, but they're both going ahead of him. And then you got guys like Darius Geis going ahead of him. So I like Jordan Howard a lot. Mark Ingram is also going ahead of him, which maybe should be. I don't know. But Jordan Howard at his price tag, RB35. I think he easily could get back into that top 20. I'm pretty confident he does, as long as Tua is
under. Yeah, and if we're looking at guys that are going in that range, Jordan Howard's definitely one that I'm trying to target as like my RB4 or 5. I just feel like with a lot of those guys, there's either like the possibility that they lose their job, or that they're just not going to get enough work. I feel like with Howard, we know what to expect. Last year, he was able to ward off Miles Sanders for most of the season. I think he got hurt towards the end, and that's why Sanders even got the opportunity that he did. But I don't think Breida is the talent of Sanders. So I do think Jordan Howard's going to have the clear starting job throughout the whole season, barring injury. And I think just like knowing what you're going to get is definitely something that I like when I'm getting a late round running back.
Yeah, for sure. There's not very many that you can find that have produced to the level that Jordan Howard has before in this price range. And he's just a guy that I think is going to be consistently solid on a week-to-week basis. And that alone might get him to top 20, even if he doesn't have a ton of boom weeks. Just consistently being a solid player may get him into the top 20. So I like Jordan Howard this year. Before we go on to our last take each, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot do you think the take that you have left is? Because I don't think mine's too hot. I'm trying to decide if I should go first or you.
I feel like mine's really hot. I would say mine's like a 9.
Okay, mine's probably like 4 on the hot scale. So I think I'll go ahead and knock mine out. Maybe I should have done it earlier, but I left it only because of the magnitude of the take, like what it would mean, I guess, if this does come true. So my last hot take is that Alvin Kamara finishes the season as the RB1 overall. And I'm talking in PPR format here. But the Saints offense is going to be good once again. We talked about that NFC South division, I mean, over and over again in these takes. I'd say about half of our takes have included players from that division because we know their offenses are going to have to score a lot to win in that division. And I really think the only reason Alvin Kamara wasn't absolutely elite last year in the same tier of guys like the CMCs and Saquons was because of that high ankle sprain. I'm not at all worried about it being a recurring issue. He gets a ton of catches. He gets north of 10 targets multiple times last year. I know he's going to be involved in the passing game. It's a great offense. He was one of the most elusive backs in all of football last season before the injury. So I'm not taking him over Barkley or McCaffrey, but if I can trade back from the 101 or the 102 to that 3 or 4 range and add a couple assets, 100% I'm all in on that. I don't think there should be nearly as much of a gap between Alvin Kamara and Saquon and McCaffrey as there is right now in most people's perception.
Yeah, that's definitely a take that I can get behind. As I stated earlier with Michael Thomas, I think it's hard to repeat as the overall overall guy at your position. So most of the time I will take the field. And if you look last year, Kamara was honestly really good before high ankle sprain. And even like with that injury, he still finished as an RB1 in PPR. And like, you already know, like what that offense is going to do. They're going to throw it to MT, to Kamara. They're going to have to score against the other teams in their division who are going to be high scoring opponents. And I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to score touchdowns, catch passes. So I would definitely grade that take about a 7 out of 10. I think it could happen for sure.
Yeah, and then just one more thing. I guess I probably should argue against the guys. CMD is going to have a ton of volume. But just going off what we know about Joe Brady, obviously the NFL and college are two completely different entities. And I don't expect all of his coaching styles to carry over, but that LSU offense last year, which is all we know about Joe Brady, once again, it could be completely different in the NFL, but they really spread the ball out a ton. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was productive out of the backfield. They had Thaddeus Moss involved. They had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson both put up big years. Terrence Marshall was their wide receiver 3 and had a big year. I just don't think that McCaffrey is going to get the same kind of super focused volume he got last year. Obviously, he's still going to get a ton of volume because he's Christian McCaffrey and they don't have a ton of weapons. But I don't think it's going to be as much of a workload as last year, where last year's workload was kind of ridiculous. And then Saquon, I don't think the offense is good enough for him to be their RB1. So really, for me, I think Kamara and Zeke, I could have gone either way on which one was going to be my hot take, quote-unquote hot take of finishing over those guys. But Alvin Kamara's role in the passing game gets me a little more excited. So I'm taking Kamara at the 103 right now. In redraft, I'd probably take Zeke over Kamara in Dynasty just because he has that second contract locked up. We know he's going to be with the Cowboys no matter what. But in redraft, I'm taking Kamara at the 103 for now. And he's a guy I think has real RB1 overall upside if he's able to stay on the field for 16.
Yeah, I definitely think the receiving is going to be a question mark with Zeke. He's shown in the past that he could be a real threat in the receiving game. But last year, he took a bit of a step back. So we'll see if he's going to be able to regain his former self and be more of a threat in that sense. But for my last take, it's kind of a weird one. I'm not quite sure if it's super hot, since I'm pretty sure he did what I'm predicting him to do this year. I think he did it in 2019. But there was a lot of changes to that offense this offseason. And my take is Austin Eckler finishes as a top three running back in full PPR. So if you look at that offense, Melvin Gordon's gone. They replace Phillip Rivers with Tyrod Taylor and drafted Justin Herbert. I see a lot of people questioning whether Tyrod Taylor's a guy who's going to dump it off to Eckler or if he's going to look to run. But if you look in the past, LeSean McCoy was a clear RB1 for 2 seasons, even with Tyrod Taylor at the helm. So I don't think that's going to hinder Eckler at all. And with Gordon gone, I think he's going to get a lot more work rushing the ball. He's obviously not going to, like, I don't think he has a 1,000-yard rushing upside, but I mean, I do think you're going to see a jump by about 50 carries or so. And I think that'll sit there and make up for if he doesn't see 100 targets again or 90 targets again that he saw last year. So I think his targets could fall by about 15 to 20, but I think the bump in carries will help him out a little bit. And I mean, he's just shown to be a fantasy asset the past couple of years. And I think he has a lot of upside having this backfield to himself. And I don't really see Justin Jackson or Joshua Kelly being a real threat to him this season, at least.
Yeah, I could get on board with that take. I don't hate it. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10 because I earlier in this podcast said that I think Zeke is going to lead the league in touchdowns and that I think Alvin Kamara is the RB1 overall. So with that being said, it's real hard for me to bet on Eckler beating out both Saquon and McCaffrey for that RB3 spot. If those two finished in the top three, assuming they would with the numbers I talked about them putting up. So I'll give it a 4 out of 10, but I do think Eckler is kind of wildly undervalued and I don't really understand why he is undervalued right now. I mean, we currently in ADP, there's guys like, Miles Sanders, who I am in on, but we haven't really seen have a maintained workload. Kenyon Drake, who just had a stretch run where he was borderline dominant, but he hasn't done it for a long sample size. Josh Jacobs, who has kind of didn't even play a full 16 last year. I don't know if we can expect him to do that. And I'm trying to think who else is going in that range. Like, I think Nick Chubb is going over him. Joe Mixon's going over him. So I could get behind Austin Eckler finishing top 5. If your take was top 5, I would have probably given it like a 7 or an 8, maybe even a 9, honestly. I'd probably perfectly on board with Austin Eckler finishing as top 5 receiver in PPR this year. And here's something I think is going a little underrated in with Austin Eckler is just how much work he is able to do in the slot. You look at that Chargers roster, and they have 3 receivers of note. And I'm including Hunter Henry here. Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans are the only 3 receivers that we can really expect anything of. there's going to be some sets, I think, where Justin Jackson is in the backfield and Austin Eckler's in the slot. So I think in PPR, he's going to be used in a variety of ways and be very productive. So I can definitely get behind him being a top five running back. I'm only out on that one because you said top three.
Yeah, I would have said top five, but that's not hot enough. Yeah, I mean, I think with Eckler, he's a guy that you can line up in the slot. So I think there's going to be a lot of plays where he is a receiver. He's just that good of a talent. And I mean, like I feel like in all formats, you have like the clear top six with CMC, Saquon, Zeke, Kamara, Cook, and Henry. And then, but then after that, I like it's honestly really tough because I feel like a bunch of guys could finish as that RB7. And I see people putting Eckler like all the way after guys like Chubb and Drake. And I just do not understand that at all. I would rather have Eckler all day over them in a full PPR format. So I definitely don't think Eckler's getting the love that he should be for how good of a season he was last year. And that is with having Gordon in the backfield for like 12 games.
Yeah, I agree. I can get behind Austin Eckler. I'm probably taking him as my RB8 now, behind that big six you said, and CEH. For me, I think I would take him ahead of Mixon. Miles Sanders and Eckler, I'd kind of have a hard time picking between, but I would take him over Josh Jacobs this year, take him over Drake, take him over Chubb, and I think I'd take him over Mixon as well for me. But CEH being in that Chiefs offense is probably where I draw the line.
Yeah.
For me, with where I drafted.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Once you get to CEH and Sanders, I would definitely put Eckler in that tier two in full PPR. Those things where I would rather just be picking the – like I'd rather have two of those guys go and then I just get whoever's left because I feel like it's honestly a toss-up on who's going to finish higher at this point. I think there's tremendous upside with all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Eckler's undervalued. We agree on that one. But that was up for our hot takes, right? We got all of them?
Yep, all 11.
All 11 each, so we got 22 hot takes total. That running back tier that we were just talking about, I could definitely speak a whole hour on, kind of how I would break down that tier because it is really close, kind of what you mentioned. And that may just be our next episode. That'd probably be a fun one to do a couple episodes on the different tiers at the position and tier them out. It's kind of a rankings in disguise podcast, but that may be our next one. We'll see. We'll be back to you guys soon with another fantasy football podcast. Brian, you got any closing thoughts for this one?
No, I feel like we covered everything pretty solid. I definitely would like the idea of covering, I would say, like the top 12 running backs or so in a later episode. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I think we could even go as deep as 15 because that tier there is it kind of there's some back end RB1 guys that I put in the same tier as the high end RB2s. So I think that'd be a good episode to go through. That probably will be our next one if we're both on board. but that's all I got. I'm excited to have this season play out. Sounds like with the NFLPA signing that contract that it is going to happen, and I'm going to be excited to listen back to this about week 14 and be like, damn, I can't believe I convinced myself to take Jordan Howard when he busts or Kerryon Johnson having some massive resurgence and me being pissed that DeAndre Swift is on my roster. So that'll be fun when we listen back and see who was right and who was wrong here. But that's all I got, man. I don't know. You're all done? You don't have anything else to close out?
I'm all done, man.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Brighton, for coming on today. We'll sure have you on multiple times more in the future. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the Two Real Gridiron podcast. Go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter at Two Real Sports. We do polls and talk fantasy football as well as basketball and just football in general. Topics over on that Twitter account, always down to talk sports or fantasy with anyone that follows over there. And I always post the links to our newest podcasts on that Twitter as well. So please give me a follow over there once again at Two Real Sports One on Twitter. And I just want to once again thank everybody for listening to the Two Real Gridiron podcast. I'm Logan, thanking you on behalf of Brighton Mason and myself, and we'll see you next time.